Hour two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. And as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program. Fresh off a defeat at the hands of Joe Rex Road, a very triumphant Joe Rex Road this morning on the program with another win in the competition in Jared versus Joe. Jared, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Glad to be with you guys.
Glad to have you with us. Joe's a little happy this morning about his win, I got to say, Jared. Very happy.
That's all I've been talking about, man.
Yeah.
Like during the breaks. That's all
I've
been
at home.
I don't
even remember exactly what the reason Caroline gave for Joe winning, but it seemed like it was very much like splitting hairs. I feel like we pretty much agreed on everything this week.
Okay.
But
yeah,
I'm happy for Joe.
Yeah, that's the thing. I actually shouldn't feel happy because I agreed too much with you during the argument. That's a good point. Now you've made me feel bad.
So, Jared, we've talked, I think, enough about the actual hire itself of Andrew Brunette this week by the Predators. But I do want to ask you the big picture question on the Preds. When you think back to Poile's out, Hines is out, Trotz and Brunette are in, and the transformation that has taken place in the front office with the coaching staff and now with the salary cap position and draft picks the Predators have at their disposal, how well positioned do you think the Nashville Predators are now to start that build toward the future, maybe rather than what they were this time 4 or 5 months ago?
Oh, I mean, I think it's night and day better. I mean, I don't think the Predators are a 10 out of 10 for where I feel like, you know, I would like them to be. If they had the number one overall pick in this year's draft, I'd probably say that they're a 10 out of 10. And that's the thing is that, and I asked Barry this when he came on the show earlier this week, and I asked him, I said, you know, you're never going to pick high in these drafts. And in the NHL, it's kind of a prerequisite if you want to have one of those great centermen, you know, one of those elite players, you're probably going to have to pick, you know, number one, number two, number three in a draft. And Barry didn't completely disagree with that and understands that they're probably not going to be that bad. But they have a bunch of picks. I mean, I like the plan, and I appreciate the fact that Barry has articulated the plan to all of us. And what they're going to do is they're going to take as many shots at it with young players, and they know that they're going to miss on some of these picks. But if they have 7 picks in the top 100 and they hit on 2 guys, that's probably a success. And I think that's the right decision. Barry, I think, has been as open and honest about, you know, where the team's headed. I like the plan that Barry Trotz has, you know, the fact that there are no sacred cows. He told me that, you know, on the show, he said that, look, you know, if they offered him the 3rd overall pick, he'd move the goalie. That doesn't mean he's trying to move the goalie. That doesn't mean that he's definitely going to move the goalie, but it tells me how open he is to making changes. And I think that this organization's in a good spot. And I think the most important thing that probably hasn't gotten talked enough about is that, like, they're going to try to win games next year, but it's not Barry's number one focus, and it shouldn't be. But the idea of waiting on Matt Duchene or waiting on Ryan Johansson or maybe even waiting on Philip Forsberg to play as well as they can and carry the team, I think those days are over, and I'm glad because it's been about 4 years that we've been waiting for that. So I think the Predators are in a great spot.
Okay. Did you just say that Trotz told you he would trade a goalie for the number 3 pick? I heard that conversation. That's not what he said.
I think that's what he said.
I think he said he had to talk about it. They didn't think about it.
Dude, like, well, you got to stop taking what people say and then making something up that they didn't say.
I'm pretty sure that's what he said.
I mean, I am so flustered. I listened to the conversation. That's not what he said. He was like, I was happy that he went to where he went, which was he did not just throw cold water on trading a goalie in general. He did not say, oh, yeah, we get the number 3 pick. See ya. He did not say that at all. I mean, that's almost like you saying that Mike Vrabel promised a receiver.
Oh, Vrabel definitely promised. All right, let's hear. This is Barry on the goalie. Let's hear what he said.
He's doing this.
We can. I'm not saying we won't. I think that's an opportunity, but you need the right dance partner. If someone came to me and said, you know, listen, I'll give you the, you know, the third or fourth pick in this draft, and if you, I'm looking for this and this, yeah, you know, be it one being one of those goalies, then, you know, we have to think about it for sure, because that's your opportunity to get that maybe, you know, game-changing centerman.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the fact that he didn't say, for sure I would deal him for the third pick. Joe, you Robbie, operate in like Robbie, somebody please. Has to say Robbie, an please. Absolute. Like, Vrabel didn't say he promised, but he said, you will trust us to get this right.
But you said it in an absolute. You then paraphrased that as an absolute, which is ridiculous. Robbie, help me out here.
He said exactly what I thought he would say, and that is, or what I said he said, which is he would think about it. You have to think about it.
Right. So again, what I'm asking you is Jared wrong when he says when he states as fact that he would trade a goalie for number three pick?
He is wrong. Yes.
Thank you. Stop it.
To me, you're splitting hairs here. This is
it's just facts.
This is the problem.
Who cares about
you?
Facts?
Is we ask questions like, do you think the Houston Texans can win the Super Bowl? And you're like, I mean, I think they can win the Super Bowl. Do I think the Houston Texans will win the Super Bowl? And it's like,
no. Talking about opinion, but you just tried to report as fact that he would trade a goalie for the number three pick, which he in no way said in the quote that you just
you
presented.
You can't say that
him.
He in no way said it. He absolutely in a way said it.
In a way. He didn't actually say it, but in a way.
He left the door open.
He left the door open to possibly trading a goalie. And he mentioned one thing, and he also said, you know, basically, you want to listen to it again, let's do it again. He's talking about there could be other things involved, too. I mean, come on. Like, you got to stop this.
I'm more impressed that Jared, like, said, you know what, I got the audio right here, baby, let's go.
I am, too. I was like, oh, Jared's got the audio ready to go. I give you props for that.
Thank you. Thank you. I like the plan. I like the direction in which they're going, and I believe in this draft, if they get offered the third overall pick, they would trade the goalie for him.
I think there's a chance they might. Jared, what do you make of the idea of John Hines maybe becoming the head coach of the New York Rangers?
I mean, I don't. I mean, here's my thing with John Hines. I don't understand why everybody thinks he's such a good coach. But this is all – I've never seen this before, right? Like, Eric Spoelstra is a good coach. And I know this because Eric Spoelstra wins. Like, you know, it just, there's enough game. And I'm not saying like, well, Barry Switzer won, so he's a good coach. But I'm talking about consistently, Eric Spoelstra wins. And so that makes, in my opinion, that makes you a good coach. And I understand that there are good coaches that don't win every year. But for the most part, when we think about the best coaches in sports, you know, Don Shula was a great coach because Don Shula won. And when it comes to John Hines, he's been an NHL head coach for the better part of a decade. He has never won anything. And yet I flip on the television and all they do is talk about how great of a coach he is and that he's up for the Rangers job. When I heard Elliot talk about his relationship with the general manager of the Rangers on the midday show the day that he got canned, I thought he was, I swear to you, I thought he was talking about an assistant coach job.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I did not think he was talking about a head coach. We're talking about New York City, Broadway, like John Hines at Madison Square Garden behind the bench. I think it's crazy. I know Joe thinks he's a fabulous coach because Joe wrote column after column after column about how good of a coach Hines was.
Another good fact by Jared.
Joe gave Hines like a C+ for his effort as coach of the Predators. Now, I will say this. Joe did write a good column, I think, at the end of the season that was basically, and I don't want to misquote Joe, but basically it was, you know, Hines has done an okay job, but somebody else can do better, and I agree with that. I mean, I just don't think he's a good coach, and everybody tells me he's a good coach, and it drives me crazy, and I'm going to stop talking before I get in trouble.
Okay. So let's take – we have the Barry Trotz plan, and you've laid it out, and I agree Trotz has been very transparent about it. So next 5 years, you know, I mean, I think we'd all agree that Trotz's success is what matters. But let's just say whatever it is, whether it's good, bad, in between, next 5 years, John Hines is the coach for those 5 years. Let's do it this way. Your confidence level, John Hines could have success, which to me is at least winning some playoff series. And then Andrew Brunette. Okay? So your scale of 1 to 10 confidence level, same exact situation, same exact personnel from Barry Trotz, each guy, confidence level and success.
I think I'd probably give Andrew Brunette like a 7 out of 10 and Hines like a 2 out of 10.
amazing. Based on an interim season as a coach.
I mean, why am I not allowed to use that as like at least a point in the discussion?
You're allowed to use it.
Well, you just scoffed at it. You just crapped on it. You were like, interim season.
No, but I mean, but you're talking about a 7 against a 2. And this is why I asked, because I knew it would be something silly like that.
I mean, John Hines sucks. I'm sorry. Like, I don't see, this is what drives me crazy, is that nobody, I understand the idea of nuance and not everybody is the best and not everybody is the worst, and I understand that.
Wow.
But at the same time.
You don't employ it, but you understand it.
Yeah. At the same time, John Hines, outside of the turnaround in 2021, which I think in large part he helped create, John Hines never did anything. And he never did anything in New Jersey except for make it to the playoffs one time, and yet, I mean, you flip on the TV, oh, he's a great coach. And you're sitting here thinking that it's laughable to think that this guy is so much better than John Hines. And I'm like, this guy in one interim season where it came out that Joel Quenneville was aware of, and I think this, like, it came out on a Wednesday that Joel Quenneville was aware of the sexual assault, and he coached on Thursday, and then he got fired on Friday, and they ended up winning the President's Trophy. Like, we're not supposed to think that that was a really, really good job.
Sure.
I think that's a good job.
I think that's a good job.
And like, yes, that was a good team. That was a good Florida Panther team. But you can't do better than win the President's Trophy in the regular season. And so he did the best you can do, especially given the circumstances. I mean, I think Andrew
But it's interesting because you've been all over Hines about his lack of playoff success.
Yes.
Right.
And Andrew Burnett has more playoff success than Hines.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. He did win a series.
He did win a series with the President's Trophy winning team.
Okay.
And then got swept.
By a wagon.
No doubt.
I mean, look,
there's a lot of information we don't have, but it's just interesting that you're just bullish on he's just going to light up the sky, and John Hines is awful.
Well, we have to. You brought up with Barry Trotz as players. So I do think that they're going to be better with Barry Trotz's players than they were with David Poyle's players. But like I said, in the Barry Trotz plan, The waiting on Duchesne and the waiting on Johansson and the waiting on these guys that John Hines was brought in here to fix and did not, like, that's over. So it's not going to be an apples-to-apples comparison. But you want me to compare apples to apples. And I think Andrew Burnett is a much better coach than John Hines. And I'm not the only one who thinks that. Barry Trotz thinks it. That's why he made the move. And so, I mean,
he said much.
I do not.
Was that a quote that he had that you made up? Did he say much better?
I mean, I guess the actions probably speak for the opinions. But I go back to this, Joe, as far as like the Hines and the Burnett and the everything else. If Andrew Burnett wins as much as John Hines won here, I won't like him very much either. So, I mean, the standards here have to be established, and I don't get the fact that when it comes to Hines, it's like I am the biggest jerk in the world because I just happen to point out, because it seems like everybody forgets that John Hines failed here. And it's like it's my fault for pointing that out. It's like, yeah, that is so unfair to a great coach in John Hines.
I just want to point out that Maddie on
Who
the text
said
line.
That? Is that another made-up quote?
That's what you're saying right now.
No. What?
I just want to point out Maddie on the text line, going back to the Trotz conversation with Jared, says Trotz's vocal inflection indicated that there would be a strong chance of that trade happening.
But here's the thing with Joe.
Vocal inflection.
But Joe wants me to like transcribe everything he says while he's talking and then regurgitate it back word for word. And if it's not word for word, then it doesn't count.
No, we speculate all the time, and we've been speculating when Trotz got on our show. We speculated like, ooh, that doesn't sound good for John Hines. You just tried to state his fact, something he didn't state. You see the difference?
All right, let's speculate. If they get offered the 3rd overall pick for UC Soros, would they do it, Robbie?
Well, see, that depends on if there's one specific guy available to me, because I think Adam Fantilli is going to be pretty good.
Well, aren't there supposed to be three?
There's supposed to be three or four, yeah.
But
really good
but
players.
I think especially 1 and 2 are clear.
I'd say yes, they do it.
Joe?
I'll say no.
You don't think they would trade UC Soros for the 3rd overall pick in the draft?
I think you need a little bit more. I need a little bit more. Sweeten it a little bit.
Yeah. Dude, it's a goalie.
Okay, I'm just telling you. I need a little bit more. I'm going to speculate. This is fine. We're speculating. You can't state as fact things that weren't said. We can speculate all day.
Cheers.
Except we need to go now.
Jared?
I think they absolutely would do it because, I mean, again, goalie just isn't that valuable of a position in this league.
Goalies suck. Goalies suck, don't they?
Have yourself a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Joe, who's the goalie of the Vegas Golden Knights?
They have several goalies.
Okay, that's my point. See you guys.
See you, Jared. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators coming up next. How much faith do Predators fans have in Barry Trotz based on what we've seen to this point? We'll get into all that coming up next. Rex Road is laughing, so that could be dangerous on
the
text line.
Shout out to Chris on the text line.
We'll get into all that coming up next, too. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to our friend Jared Stillman for being with us on the program.
Lots to unpack. First of all, some of you on the text center are just amazing. Grigsby with the Toonses video said, Trotz did touch his face a lot when talking about trades. Chris made me laugh initially. He said, Trotz was touching his face and talking about the trade, so it's not happening. Like I said, he's not living that one down. But also, can I just say, and Josh says he's going to cause you to have a heart attack on the radio, and that won't be funny like the chair you obliterated. That's true. That might actually be a dark day. Although, if I have a heart attack and it's like you know, it's like the Bears fans, the Bears, you know, it's like Farley, yeah. And I'm okay. Yeah. It's like a mild heart attack. It can kind of be funny. Be some good audio.
Let's try to avoid that.
No, Joe. No.
No, but listen.
We know you get hurt a lot, but no.
Yeah. Well, he may be right. Sometimes he does get the blood pressure rising. But here, but listen. First of all, two things on this. Apart from we totally expose that he took liberties with what Trotz said. I mean, we can all agree on that, right? Anybody reasonable can agree on that. Ridiculous. But beyond that, you would trade Saros for the third pick?
Yeah. I would.
I don't know, man. I don't know that I would do that. And I'm with Mark from Ashton City, who says, I can't believe he just said goalie's not that important. There's a reason Edmonton and Toronto don't win. There's a reason why we're even talking about Saros potentially being worth third pick. I mean, come on. Yeah, again, it's like, so Jared's like, oh, look at this. This particular postseason, look what happened. Goalies mean nothing. Come on.
Well, I would, to me, if you're trading up to the third pick, you've identified what I would assume to be a center iceman that you think is going to be your franchise player. So, yes, I would do it.
But, I mean, again, who knows how this is going to work out. Mock drafts are what they are.
I know.
Okay? But I do trust Corey Promnan. I think he's really good. And, like, his analysis of this draft is, you know, Bedard, Fantilli, the kid from Michigan.
Yep.
And then, like he's got Columbus taking William Smith third.
Yep.
There's also Leo Carlson out there.
This is a good draft.
Yeah, right. It's a good draft, but is it if you're not getting one of those top two guys, we know they're not getting the top guy.
No.
But if you're not getting Fantilli, is it a good enough draft that – I mean, obviously you have to have the conviction that you know who it'll be and you're convinced that person, whoever it is, Leo Carlson, is going to be your
– let me put it to you this way.
Top centerman for a long time.
I think I would still probably do it if it was Fantilli. There's no question about it. I would not even hesitate. If I were the Predators.
Just straight up.
Straight up.
Saros for that pick.
Zero hesitation. That's me.
Okay.
I mean, you're talking about a guy that I think can be, I mean, he could be here for 15 years down the middle.
It's still a draft, though.
I know.
Still the unknown.
Yeah. I get it. He's not Connor Bedard. I understand that. But I think he's going to be pretty good. I think he's pretty darn good.
You're talking
about Fantilli.
Now. Yeah. No, I mean, look, I think there's a I'm a lot more willing to go there than three, where then it appears to be a little bit of a tear down of uncertainty. You know?
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing it, you have to. I mean, it's similar to the quarterback position, right? Like we talked about leading up to the draft for the Titans. Like if you're moving up to go get a quarterback, you better love the quarterback. Well, especially, like, this is beyond just moving up. This is trading your franchise goalie. Again, you know, Trotz said that they would have to think about it. And by the way, he said that they would have to think about it, and the question was about the goalie position. It wasn't about Saros. It was about Saros and or Askarov.
That's true, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know that Saros would even be the guy. Now, I also don't think – Like, if you were going to trade up to number three overall, whoever's doing that, it's not going to be just Askarov. Like, it would have to be Saros.
Well, but what if it was like Askarov and several of those picks?
I'm saying straight up, though. Like, it would. Yeah. There's no way that Askarov by himself could do that. I don't think.
So if it was Askarov and a bundle of picks or Saros, which one would you rather do?
Well,
for the same return.
Look, I would probably do Saros from this standpoint, and I think a lot of people will disagree with me, and that's fine. I personally don't have a ton of interest in paying UC Saros $9.5 million coming up in a couple years. I just don't. I mean, I think he's really good. I think he's probably worth $9.5 million, but that's a lot of money for a goalie. And I realize Vasilevsky's making about $9.5 million. I get all of it. But I think with the timeline of where this team is right now, it's going to take a few years anyway. I would pick Askarov. That's just me. I think they're a couple years away anyway. And if it helps you get your sentiment at the end, I think you'll be better off in the long run. So that's me. I think a lot of people would disagree with it, and I get it. But that's how I would do it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It's like there is that time frame. Like, if Yossi is your north star of your time frame, as we kind of talked about yesterday, you said he just turned 33. Is that right?
He
just turned 33
yesterday. Yep.
Then you could look at it in terms of, okay, well, the sure thing goalie for that time frame of, you know, 2-3 years from now is Saros. But the longer term benefit to avoid the huge deal and to obviously have a much younger goalie,
yep,
who still could be great, that's the whole thing. You don't know, but he could be great, is going that way.
Glenn from Laverne taking a shot at you. Uh-oh. On the text line. I think it's you. Says, this is the reason we have teams like the Titans and Prez, because of opinions like yours. Trading a goalie for a transcendent forward makes more sense than hoping for something to happen.
Yes.
From Glenn on the
podcast. Yes, Glenn, the transcendent forward. Where's he from? How old is he? Oh, the draft is such a sure thing, isn't it? Just the transcendent forward.
Joe, the influence you have.
David Legwand.
I'm going to start going through some recent drafts at the transcendent players who were picked who no one knows who they are because they didn't pan out. Sorry, Glenn. I got a little angry there.
Lafreniere.
Now you got me. Lafreniere. Yeah, exactly. He's okay. He's pretty good.
I don't even know if I'd go pretty good. He's okay.
He's okay. He's fine. He's in the lineup. I mean, that one, you know, they had the kids line.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's Lafreniere. That's a great example. I mean, remember, like, the Preds could have gotten the first pick. Like, oh, they might get Alexis Lafreniere. Oh, my God. And then they didn't, and the Rangers didn't, and he's okay. He's good enough to be in the NHL. Yay.
Now, having said that, I think Connor Bedard's going to be pretty good.
Well, okay. Did you ask me if they should trade for Bedard?
No,
yes.
You're just saying the 18-year-old forward. I'm just saying I think he's going to be pretty good.
Fine. You trade Saros, trade Askarov, trade Stillman, trade everything you want for Connor Bedard, okay?
We'll continue this conversation coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll also get to the Stanley Cup Final. Is a non-traditional Cup Final matchup good for the league? We'll get into that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knazovic here with you on this Friday morning. We'll have the Rex Rant coming up at 7:45. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, coming up at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that discussion with him. One more point on the Saros front that I'm kind of basing some of my logic off of. Somehow my discussion always ends up back to the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I don't really know how this continues to happen, but it
pretty
does.
Good.
But the kind of the model I have in mind with the Predators and why I personally probably wouldn't pay Saros $9 or $9.5 million by the time his next contract rolls around is because I view it kind of the same way as the Lightning when they had Ben Bishop. Ben Bishop was a very good goalie. Now, Ben Bishop also, you know, he had some injury problems both in Tampa Bay and in Dallas. But Bishop, I mean, he took the Lightning to the Stanley Cup Final in 2015, He was a Vezina-caliber goaltender. He was an all-star goalie. And they had Andre Vasilevsky waiting in the wings and ultimately made the decision to move Ben Bishop, go with Andre Vasilevsky. Obviously, that's worked out. Now, look.
So, Robbie says Askarov equals Vasilevsky.
I knew that's where we're going. I'm not saying that Askarov is Andre Vasilevsky, although, like, their prospect profile is pretty similar. It's pretty similar. So, I'm just saying the Lightning made the decision to move on to the younger goalie. It worked out. Now they're having to pay him, and you're talking about one of the greatest postseason goalies of all time already, even in his career. So, that is the pipe dream hypothetical. That's working out great scenario for the Predators. Probably won't go that way, but we'll see. But that model is one of the reasons why I wouldn't do it. That's just me. I think a lot of Predators fans will disagree with that, and I get it.
No, that's a well-argued point. Whoever this jerk is on the text line says, Joe was ready to sell the farm for Bryce Young a few months ago, but now the draft is too risky. LOL. All right, you kind of got me, you jerk. Now, if you're...
Yeah, but you would sell for Bedard. You would sell for the number one.
Thank you. Exactly. I mean, Glenn over here is talking about some dude he's never heard of. Maybe you did. Okay, Glenn, I want you to tell me...
You shouldn't assume that about Glenn.
You're right. Glenn, I want you to tell me, real quick on the text line, which of these number three or below prospects are you calling a transcendent forward that you know will be a transcendent forward? I don't know why I'm getting so excited about this. Sorry. It's Friday.
I got a text from...
You just muted.
I did mute myself. I got a text from Skip Stillman on my phone. I need Joe to defend his John Hines isn't that much worse than Andrew Brunette take. It's from Skip Stillman on the text line.
Okay, so first of all, did I say that?
No.
Okay. So again, Jared is just, hey, someone says some words. Let me make up some different words they didn't say, and then I'll just present that as fact.
He was at a 7 with Brunette.
Right.
And a 2 with Hines.
Well, let me ask you the exact same question.
Okay. So the question was, same scenario.
The question is this. The next 5 years play out however they play out. Yep. Either Barry Trotz is an awesome GM, terrible GM, somewhere in between. But John Hines is coaching that team for 5 years. Andrew Brunette is coaching that same team for 5 years. Confidence level, scale of 1 to 10 in each guy. But I'm going to ask both of you this question.
I mean, my answer in Brunette is probably a 5 because I don't really know. I would put Hines at a 4. That's about where I'm at. I mean, look, I think Andrew Brunette has a chance to be a good coach, but I don't know that. I mean, the 1 year he had in Florida was very impressive, so I like that. The power play work that he did and the path that he's taken to get here, I like. So I like a lot about Andrew Brunette. I have no idea how good of a head coach he really is. So I'd go 5 with Brunette. I'd go 4 with Hines.
Michelle?
So I'm going to actually put them both at a 5 because I think that, first off, we've seen what John Hines has done with an okay roster. I mean, I wouldn't say that the teams he's had here are, incredible, but I also think he coached this team. There were some years where, they could have been better. They could have been better at the beginning of this year. But I don't think what this team accomplished was, I don't think they could have accomplished so much more than what they did. And then on the Andrew Brunette side of things, yes, he took over in Florida. But I would say that roster was, they won the President's Trophy. The sample size is still just too small. He's had great teams there and also in New Jersey. So what does it look like when it's all you're starting from the beginning, you have a roster like this? So honestly, I'm going to give them both 5s because of both of those reasons. More sample size from John Hines, but it hasn't been that great. And it's still a big question mark with Brunette.
Two quick things on that. I agree with everything you just said. Now, one thing to keep in mind when Andrew Brunette took over the Panthers. They were 7-0 when he took over. They were 7-0.
Don't tell Jared that. According to Jared, it was a terrible situation, and he just completely turned everything around.
I will say, keeping a team together through that when you lose a coach, it's impressive.
Absolutely.
So it's going to win the President's Trophy.
He deserves credit for it.
He deserves credit for it. And I will say, you and I have talked about the roster part of this a lot with John Hines. But the fact of the matter is, he has been the head coach of a team for basically 8 full years in the league, and there's not a whole lot to show for it. So, at some point, I'll put it to you this way. I agree with everything. The roster, I don't know that he's ever had a roster where he should have been expected to compete for a Stanley Cup or anything like that. But we talked the other day when they hired Andrew Brunette about elevating a team, and that's what you want your coach to do. And I think I've seen enough from John Hines that lets me know he's probably not an elevator of a team.
Yeah, I lost some confidence in John Hines this year. Jared referred to that column. And, yeah, I think the inconsistency, the consistent inconsistency at some point becomes a problem. So it's weird because I think we have hive mind on this show, but my numbers are exactly the same as yours. I think Brunette is a 5 is exactly the right way to look at it. Jared goes 7. Brunette is a 5. I mean, it was impressive. That was good. It's very limited information on what he is as a coach. This is his first time, as Michelle just said, as the coach, the clear absolute coach of a franchise. It's a 5, and I'm a 4 on Hines. So I am, if you give me the choice between the two, I'll take Brunette, absolutely, because there is a lot more information on Hines, and it's okay. It's fine. It's solid. Nothing great. He hasn't any great teams, but still, I think that it's fair to wonder if he can elicit consistency. And for as overblown as I think all this offensive coach stuff is, look, I do think they're going to play in a different style, and I think it's the right style, and it's not Hines' style.
Well, and honestly, in all seriousness, like when it comes to Hines and the Rangers job, his track record to me doesn't add up to head coach of the New York Rangers as currently constructed. Now, I will say, if he ends up getting that job, then we're going to find out exactly what John Hines is.
Yeah, because that team's
the talent excuse is out the window if you take the New York Rangers job right
now.
Yep.
That team's got the goods.
Right. So, I don't think he's going to get it. I think Peter Laviolette's still probably going to be the one that ends up with that job. But I just don't think the track record, and again, I know that there are different circumstances and that Drury and Hines know each other really well. I don't think Hines' track record adds up to New York Rangers' job to me. That's just me.
I just got to – the text line today is fantastic.
Okay.
First of all, Maddie is promoting – I should look into some THC products. But also he says, I'll give Brunette a 5.5 and Hines a 3.14 because he is a suck pie.
Wow,
a pie math joke from Maddie.
Math joke. Way to go. Justin from Greenbrier says, so the Hall & Oates song, Out of Touch, leading into this segment. Who's out of touch?
I don't know. Michelle picked it.
We love Hall & Oates on this program.
What are you trying to say? We do love Hall & Oates. We just love Hall & Oates. But it could have been a comment on somebody.
Well,
who would it be, Michelle?
We were all pretty much the same in our numbers for that question.
Well, look, it's a hard question to answer from this standpoint. Like, we've seen Hines. We know the end result of Hines here with the Predators, right? And I know the question is, everything's the same. Barry Trotz puts his touch on the team, the roster, all that stuff. But we've seen Hines, and it's hard to overcome what that is.
And we were both sub-middle on him.
Right, yeah, sub-middle.
Sure.
Now, Brunette, look, I think Brunette, I do agree with Jared from one standpoint. Like, I think Trotz thinks that Brunette is a significant upgrade over John Hines. If he didn't, I don't really know why you're making the move. I think Trotz believes that Andrew Brunette is a significant upgrade over Hines and that he's going to be the guy moving forward.
You're probably right. I'm just saying he didn't say it.
That is true.
You're probably right.
That is true. So, look, I feel like, to go back to the big picture question that I asked Jared, like I think the Predators are in a really good spot right now. I agree. Like, it's not like they're set up perfectly and we're just, on the countdown to the Stanley Cup right now. But they have positioned themselves where they could get out of this thing relatively quickly and be back to being competitive. Now, Andrew Brunette's going to be a big part of that. He's 51-18-6 in the regular season as a head coach. But again, this is a much different job that he's taken over now than he had in Florida. And a big part of this job is going to be development. We've seen him develop. And we've seen him do that with some younger players as an assistant. Can you do that as a head coach? That's going to be the challenge for Andrew Brunette now. So, I mean, it's the job's laid out in front of him. I agree that it's no longer about Johansson and Duchesne and all those guys. But this is a much different task for Andrew Brunette than the Florida job was. And we'll see if he can handle it.
No question. Dennis points out that Hines had a struggling, power play. Said PK, but I think it means power play. Had a player who was a weapon on it, scratched the guy every night until the team gave him away free. That is true. Also, the year before, John Hines' power play was right up there with Andrew Brunette's power play with not as good players. Just saying.
Yeah. No, it's a fair point. Robert says, my concern with the offensive-minded coach is that Hines' team wasn't built that way. It's going to take some roster moves and re-education of some current players. This is from Robert of Nash. I don't think that's going to be that big a deal. Like, first off, a lot of the players are young, and you can mold them that way in their system. And I don't think it's going to take a whole lot of convincing to look at Philip Forsberg and be like, hey, we want you to be really creative out there. Do your thing.
Right. Yosi.
Yeah. Right.
Trigger offense, Yosi.
So I don't think that part of it will be a huge transition from the player standpoint that way. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning at 745. We need more. That is next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Another thing, stop playing us, man. We the Detroit Lions. We the Detroit Lions, stop playing with us. I don't even watch TV, but I heard everybody already picked the Packers over us. Stop playing with us. That's all I gotta say, man. Don't let these tears fool you. It's all dog around this mug. I'm good.
Former.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode here on the program. You can check it out every morning at 7:45.
See, the underrated part of that.
He's in total tears before all that.
Yeah, it was that. By the way, I think my version of the Lions fight song is way better. But also is the I don't even watch TV thing. But the thing is, he's probably telling the truth, right? I mean,
he probably doesn't watch
what all TV. The young people today do. They say everything's just right here.
Yeah.
It could be its own rant. It's been a rant 11 times. But today, this is also kind of a familiar topic, okay. But and also this is, of course, tied in with some self-promotion. Of course,
good.
It's like a humble brag rant. So today I wrote, I got a story on 1A at The Athletic, hard to do. Got one on 1A about Maggie Corbin. Spent a lot of time on this story, spent a night with her watching a baseball game. It was, for anybody who doesn't know, Maggie Corbin. I suggest hanging out with Maggie Corbin if you can. She's from Vicksburg, Michigan, which is just a few miles away from Climax, Michigan.
I knew we were going there. Yep.
So, you know, there's some. And I figured out in the midst of this story, so my Aunt Mary was 12 when I was born, you know, like the baby. And so she's like my aunt. Like I was old enough to go to her high school sports stuff for Climax Scots Panthers, the CS Panthers, shout out. And Maggie and I pretty much figured out they are the same graduating class, 78, that I watched my Aunt Mary and Maggie, then Maggie Hastings, play basketball in the Climax Scots Gymnasium.
That's awesome.
In the winter of 77-78. Think about that.
That's awesome.
I wish I mean, I vividly remember going to my Aunt Mary's basketball games, and she's like, yeah, I mean, I played for Vicksburg. We played Climax. Wild is that?
At least two legends in the building at one time with you and Maggie Corbin.
Yeah.
It's so wild how the world is connected. It really is.
It is. So this story I had a lot of fun putting together, and there's a lot to it. But late in the story, we get into, well, look, the fact that, one, last year after a very tough season for Vanderbilt and in the midst of about a year into NIL and the portal, as we talked about earlier today, it is a strain on coaches. You know, Chuck said on the text line earlier, and I agree, like, I'm not crying for these coaches who make millions. I agree. But I'm acknowledging that it does make the job harder, and I think it's going to make careers shorter. I think that his name is escaping me, but he made it clear. Villanova's coach, help me
out.
Right. Yeah. There's an example of not liking how things are looking, get out. And he has talked about that some too.
So, how did I come up with a college basketball name for you two?
That is quite amazing. So anyway, there's a part of this story where get into that. One, that they had serious conversations last summer about like the future, and you know, and that two, that this particular team has been rejuvenating for them. But also like Tim Corbin, and I credit him like I'll credit. I mean, you know, it's funny because Eli Drinkwitz got dunked on this week, and the way he did it was obviously a little misguided, and it's kind of tone deaf. But I do appreciate coaches who aren't afraid to come out. And like Saban, people dunk on him, but he's not afraid to say, like, this is there's some tough stuff with this. You know, Corbin has said, like, He's not a huge fan of this stuff. And Maggie Corbin has said some similar things in this story. And again, basically the idea being they don't want – I mean, this program, I think Vanderbilt baseball is as good a college sports program, we've talked about that, as there is. It's incredible. It's a model in terms of actual people development and genuine people who give a crap about other people and all the things that you want, right? Well, if you're that kind of program, I don't blame you if you don't want to just – now players are just about, okay, oh, we got 20,000 more from our collective than LSU did, so we're going to – And it all becomes transactional. I don't blame you for not liking that. At the same time, like they're not like closed off to NIL and all that stuff. So my rant is this comment by Julian B., which says, the story was great until I read their antiquated opposition to players rightfully earning their share of the revenue derived from the product they helped create. I have zero patience for that garbage. It genuinely made me lose some respect for the Corbins. And again, and I knew this was going to happen. I was nervous last night when I went to bed because I was like, some people are going to jump on, like, just really what they said, which isn't, like, it's not like they're out there saying we don't support it. They're saying we don't, like, this is not how we run a program, and it makes it less fun. And it's just, like, anybody who says anything remotely, like, hey, this makes it tough or – you know, I don't like this or whatever. Someone is going to jump on them and say that. You don't yep. want these players to get a dime. That's BS. That's not true. And if we can't talk about this stuff, then, you know, everybody has to be, again, like the Eli thing, he deserved it. But it kind of ties into this.
It does.
Where you're just going to jump on someone for making. And the point he was making, which, again, the tone deafness is his salary. But the point he was making is, like, is it good for people who are 18 to have this much money? I've said that before, too. I would have been a freaking disaster. I was anyway. If I had that kind of money, holy crap.
Yeah, right. The term broke college students, you know, just doing whatever. And it's like, oh, now you got college students with millions. It's a little scary. Yeah. I mean, I know, for instance, like, I have a friend who covers Lexington very closely. And, like, Oscar was asking for, like, $8 million. Or he wasn't going to come back.
$8 million for this 1 year?
Mm-hmm. Like, see, think about that.
Well, that's, you know what? That's interesting. But, like, so there's a guy, though, that's a thing. It's obviously, like, an Oscar. I mean, he is a responsible, like.
Sheboy, not the Grouch.
Thank you. Like, he, you know, he would, I would, God, I would love to see him get that. I would have loved to have seen him get that, you know? Good job. That was good. Nah, that's
the worst
fine.
One ever. It's so bad.
I got the reference. You know,
good, good. That's good.
That's the key.
No, but it's crazy. Like and the other part of this too is because I think you're starting to see, you know, players and coaches talk about this. I think a little bit more openly because in the beginning, Joe, if you remember, like Saban would talk about it. And other, like, prominent coaches would talk about it, but not really anybody else talked about it all that much from the standpoint of, like, because they didn't want it used against them in recruiting. Like, you remember all the Billy Napier, Florida stuff? I was like, oh, you don't want anything to do with NIL. Can't go over to that right. guy. You're not going to get right. paid. So, like, I think we're starting to get out of that and more into an open conversation about it.
Yeah, again, so it's, again, like, the comment here from Julian is doesn't want them to share in the revenue. They, like, I think any coach is like Enrique Bradfield here, I think he has some NIL, but if he had NIL given him millions, they'd be thrilled about that. The point is you don't want to get into where your relationship is purely transactional. And I understand it's already – someone's going to be like, come on, it's transactional. Anybody going to college, you're trying to get ready for your job. And if you're a great athlete, there's a transactional aspect to it. Like, what can you do for me? What can I do for you? Right?
Sure.
Yes. But again, if it gets boiled down to, oh, we got outbid by Mississippi State. Oh, well. Let's see if we can outbid Tennessee on this guy. I appreciate any coach who is going to be an obvious human and say that sucks.
Well, it's just way different. I mean, it's and we talked about this at like the start of the NIL conversation. You know, again, especially when it's not a high-level college football player or a high-level college basketball player, the money that we're talking about in most cases here is not into the millions. Like it's smaller amounts of money than that. So those are the extreme guys. But that's also like the difference in a – let's say you're a three-star linebacker and Tennessee's offering you $50,000 in NIL money and Georgia's offering you $85,000 – or Georgia's probably a bad example, but Mississippi State's offering you $85,000 in NIL money. Like, that's a big difference. I mean, it doesn't sound like a huge difference. That's a pretty big difference when you're talking about – guys like that who may not go on to have professional careers at that point. It's just it complicates things.
Right. And again, it's like, you know, in the past it was okay. I mean, it's not just laid out that clearly. It's not as much money for sure. Overall, it's not as much money. But there's still money flying around.
Yeah. No question. 615-737-1025, our phone number. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. We'll get his thoughts on Titans OTAs to this point and his thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins as well. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.